Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst, Change Facilitator, and Peter M. Fellows, the Mindful Pathfinder. And this week, you asked us, what can I do to worry less? Peter, can you give us an idea of what you'll be sharing with us today?
Yeah, thank you, Rick. It's good to be here, where I'm always sure to find wit, warmth, and wisdom with a welcome. So I appreciate that about you guys. So what can you do to worry less? There's some remarkable drugs now available, or you could have a nice cup of tea. You could get out more, be with people, cheer up. It may never happen. And if those aren't working for you, then how about you pour yourself another cup of coffee, sit back and get ready for three super strategies from three great guys on how to do more to worry less. Back to you, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Frank, how about you? What do you got today?
Well, you know, when you look at the newspapers or read the news today, and when I talk to friends, there's a lot to worry about. It seems somehow our top priority, and it sells quite well. News that creates distress. Worry, an interesting word. Why worry about things that might happen in the future? It is usually a way to look into your life, to look at your life? We don't think so. That's why we are going to give you some practical hacks to deal with worry in a more effective way. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Frank. Good stuff. So what I'll be sharing today is, I remember back in 1995, I had a good friend. He was struggling with worry. We were both new parents, and I was so relaxed and so chill, had this little baby, and he was worried about everything, worried about the current baby, the future, more kids coming, expenses, all this stuff. So I shared a couple of books with him. Even though this isn't a book talk episode, it definitely relates to worry. So the first one was The Relaxation Response by Herbert Benson. And the second one, that was written in 1975. And the second one, which I found even to be more profound to help with worry, was How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. And I thought that was really an amazing one. And so I want to share that with you today. So Frank, Peter, tell us what you think people can do to worry less.
I'll tell you, the first thing comes to mind is what you said, that you had a good friend back in the day. That's nice that you had a good friend. And don't you worry about it, because I'm sure you'll have more good friends as we go along. So here's my thoughts. There's no off switch for your worries. You can try and ignore a worrying thought, but that doesn't really help. Imagine there's this person that's really into you, and you're not into them. And you can't just yell at them to go away, because you know that when you tried that with another annoying person and said, get out of my face, just go away, they ended up letting the air out of your tires or keying your car. With a worrying thought, that's the equivalent of trying to repress it, only to have it implode and give you pimples or a rash or a headache or stomach problems or worse. So you don't really succeed with ignoring worries. It's like if you're at a party and in walks worrying thought, you know, they're going to look for you, and you decide that you're just going to ignore them, ignore their presence. You got to be at the party, or you want to be at the party. You're just going to ignore what they're doing. But here's the catch: when you try to ignore that person walked in the door at the party, in order to ignore the person, you have to know where they are at all times, so that you can have your back towards them. So you actually spend more time focusing on worrying thought, the person, than you would in any other thing. So what do you do? Well, worrying thoughts right there is wants you to dance with it, you know, wants you to play, and it's stressing you out. And that, in generic mindfulness, what you do instead of saying, oh, oh no, here's that worrying thought again, and trying to ignore it, you acknowledge it. You go on over, you greet it by name. Hey, worrying thought, how are you? Good to see you. But you don't ask it to dance, okay? Instead, before it can answer, while you're still smiling, you take the hand of the person next to it, you see? Like you're breathing. and you make your breathing your dance partner. It's a little rude. Yeah, I know. But worrying thought says, oh, okay. He saw me. He greeted me. He just wanted to dance with the other person. Always hopeful, that worrying thought. Now, I got to be honest here. Your breathing, the person you chose to dance instead of worrying thought, not very exciting. But in generic mindfulness, you pretend like breathing is the most fascinating dance partner you've ever had. Hey, breathing, look at you. Air going in, down there, coming back out. This is amazing. Let's dance. And you do your little breathing dance. You might do air in, one, two, three, hold, one, two, three, out, one, two, three. You can do any little dance pattern you like. And if you really get into your new dance pattern, your breathing, like it's so interesting and cool, worrying thought will just stand quietly by the wall waiting. It may come try and get your attention later when you've stopped dancing with anyone. But if it does, you can just do the same thing. Greet it by name, shake its hand. Well, don't shake its hand. And then ask someone else to dance, all the while smiling. This works pretty well, but it depends upon you being able to really pretend that you care about your dance partner, your breathing. And for some people, that's kind of hard to do because breathing's boring, that's why. But as long as your day is filled with things that you do find engaging, you won't hear a peep from worrying thought. And if worrying thought senses that you aren't ready, really into what's going on, then it'll rush up, ready to dance. So in mindfulness pathfinding, we look at things differently. That worrying thought, that's not your problem. It's your brain who's stressed out by it, not you. So, but you see, it's still like having this roommate, your brain. And whenever your roommate gets all stressed out and frustrated and stuff, because it's your roommate, you suffer the collateral damages. So it's to benefit. The idea is to try and help your roommate out to your benefit. And like your brain, your roommate, it's really helpful if you help them out, do things, because your brain is your friend. Helps you breathe, helps you talk, helps you walk, helps you eat. Help me a little bit with this script, not much. Your brain, whom we call gatekeeper in mindfulness pathfinding, doesn't know how to handle worrying thoughts' attention. So you're going to be gatekeeper's wingman. Now, for those of you who don't know what a wingman is, that's like the person who goes with you to help you meet someone or to help you get away from somebody who's all over you and you don't want to hang out with them. So when worrying thought starts getting too friendly with your brain, gatekeeper, you can just jump in and ask a question. Like, you know, when your boss is cornered by the office supply salesman, come on, you want to buy some office supplies? Come on, come on. You go to her rescue saying, hey, boss, yeah, we should deal with this. We'll ask the office manager exactly what we need to take into consideration for all the needs of everybody in the office, blah, 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 like that. And so worrying thought goes, oh, okay, he's paying attention to me. And you ask the pathfinder's question, where is my most fulfilling path forward here? And to the worrying thought, that sounds like, yeah, she's trying to pay attention to my needs. This is great. And to gatekeeper, your brain, that sounds like, yeah, that's something to do. That's the way out of this. And we kick the problem down the road or up to another level. You're deeper, better informed, non-conscious mind, whom we call in mindful pathfinding, your pathfinder. Don't get confused. This sounds like what every politician does when you say, when are you going to fix the huge pothole on Salisbury Street? And they say, well, we need to have a conversation about a comprehensive plan, take into account all potholes, traffic patterns, climate change, and the existence of the universe. Except the difference is, and it's a huge difference, Pathfinder actually has an answer, because that's what the non-conscious mind does. It's always figuring out your most fulfilling path forward. So you ask the pathfinder's question, and then you pay attention to what answer you get. Maybe internal, like an impulse, an insight, an inspiration. Maybe external, like an opportunity arises, or the issue self-resolves, or it never even arises, even though you were worried about it. And gatekeeper, your roommate, isn't stressed out, because you guys passed their way along to Pathfinder. And now you're just watching to see how Pathfinder handles the situation. The moment you get engaged in watching what Pathfinder does, and worrying thought becomes as quiet as a mouse, just like with generic mindfulness, but with mindful pathfinding, you've had an action, you've had a plan, something you can do, and your whole experience is starting to level up. Want to hear more about mindful pathfinding and how it can level up any real situation or problem you face? Check out the resources available for you at mindfulpathfinding.com. Back to you, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Terrific stuff as always. Frank, what are your thoughts on what people can do to worry less?
Well, an effective way to deal with worry is what they call in business risk management. Simply said, it's the probability that something might happen that you don't want to happen, and to have the capability to anticipate on that event in an effective way. A risk level is a chance times effect or impact. How real is it that something you don't want is occurring? That's the chance. And how big is the impact when it happens, the effect? In general, chances in modern houses that they will completely burn down when there is a fire isn't that big. But when it happens, the impact is huge. Everything is gone, probably. See the effect of a hurricane, for instance. What happens when you worry? You assess the probability that something worse might happen to you or someone or something. An insurance policy is a way to deal with this. For instance, you had a fire in your house and you expect that the damages will be covered by your insurance. Or what about your health insurance? Same thing. But there's something else. Worrying is a stressful activity. It makes you afraid and creates distress. People tend to look at their past in a positive way, but unfortunately, many cases also in a negative way. I wish I had. I should have done that, and focus on the future in more or less the same way. To deal with that, we express hope. I wish that something, just name it, better happens or something that doesn't happen. Hope sounds good, but when you are still afraid of something, hope is just a nice and smooth cover up. It's ineffective. It's a mental and emotional pacifier. Worrying is a negative way to think about yourself in the future, and hope doesn't answer it. But what's the way out? Guru Gal Gopal Das has a wonderful YouTube video called Then Why Worry? Please have a look at this. You will like it. What does he say? He says the following. Suppose, do you have a problem in life? No? Then why worry? Do you have a problem in life? Yes. Can you do something about it? Yes. Why worry? Do you have a problem in life? Yes. Can you do something about it? No. Then why worry? Let's be honest. There's no quick relief from deeply ingrained fears and worries. In episode 12, we talked about it. You must face them, your worries, your fears. Because you must acknowledge them because you cannot change what you do not acknowledge. I've said in that episode, there are basically two types of psychological fears. The fear of losing something and the fear of getting what you try to avoid. You don't want it. But we try to avoid pain and seek pleasure, but we constantly are trapped in the dynamics of those two poles. We fear of losing something we are attached to, and at the same time, we fear to get what we don't want. That makes us worrying. Somewhere in that dynamic, there is a point of balance, as I've said, a point where what is somehow neutral. It's that point what I would call the point of non-attachment. You aren't attached to either of these emotions or your interpretation of that situation. You stand somewhere in the middle where they merge. You are not attached. So to get rid of your fears, the basis of your worries, what do you do? See them as pointers to a deeper understanding of who you are, as guides or friends. Start to look and listen behind the fears and not resist them because, yeah, they are there to make you aware of something. There's a way to get in the middle, to be neutral. Ask yourself the following question when you're caught in this dynamic of fear. What is happening to me right now, in this very moment? Look at it. Observe it. feel it. Don't interpret. Don't make it right or wrong. Your mindful pathfinder, as Peter says, or I would say your inner guide, will give you an answer, whispering it in your ear. Be listening and be silent. And take the time. It takes its time to get you the answer. And if you ever say, I have to get it now, I have to get it now, you start to worry again. Meaning, the meaning behind the worry will be revealed. You get an insight and become aware of the meaning of your worry, because the position of non-attachment is the position of objectivity. Try it. It will help you.
Yeah.
Rick.
Great stuff, Frank. Always giving us formulas. Terrific. So in the book, The Relaxation Response, Dr. Benson gives us four steps to create this response. One, find a quiet space. So if you're worrying, one, find a quiet place. Two, get a mental device, also known as a mantra. You can fix on one thing, one phrase. Three, get a passive attitude. So a passive attitude is just kind of neutral, just being there, not thinking one way or the other. And then four is a comfortable position, maybe breathing or doing some muscle relaxation, just kind of chilling out. So this is a terrific formula for helping relieve worry. You know, it's similar. As I listen to Peter and Frank, such similar ways to get to, you know, this result that we want. And, you know, we always talk about how looking through a different lens sometimes can get you to the same place. So hopefully you'll check that book out. It could be very helpful. Helped my friend a great deal and many others over the years. And then the second book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, by Dale Carnegie. I was a big Dale Carnegie fan as a young man in sales. I started my career with How to Win Friends and Influence People, which was written in 1936. So if you think about it, some of this wisdom has been around for a long time. So this second book, I'm already a big fan. I checked out this second book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. It's another classic, which was written in 1948, still works today. And then I kind of broke down some of the things that he talks about in that book. One, do your best in the present moment. So if you're struggling with worry, do your best right now. Two, learn a little bit more about the situation. Look at the facts. What's really going on right now? What am I actually worried about? And probably if I ask you to look at the facts, you're probably thinking about something that hasn't happened yet. So it's not really the fact yet. That can really break down walls. Number three, change what you can, let go of the rest. Number four, think happy thoughts. It is proven that whatever you're thinking about is going to come to you. So if you're worried about some bad outcome, let that go. Think about something a little more positive. Watch what happens. Number five, I'll use the words pray, ask, or say and write what you actually want to happen in this situation. And then number six, rest before you're tired or relax. Work consistently, be enthusiastic. And what's interesting is, you know, that work part, that's a piece that always helps me. Every time I'm struggling with any type of worries or concerns, especially when I can't fix them right now, they're worries. So they're in the future. I go to work. And, you know, that's something that's always helped me. My father taught me at a young age, just go to work. Go, you know, concentrate on what you're doing today, whatever it is, even if it's fun, just go do that thing and watch what happens. Peter, any final thoughts?
Yeah, my friend followed that relaxation response mantra thing. He's in high finance. His mantra was money. Here's my final thoughts. I'm not my thoughts. You are not your thoughts. They belong to your brain, gatekeeper. And when you make the mistake of identifying with your thoughts, psychologists call this cognitive fusion. I just call it confusion. All you have to do with a worrying thought is greet it by name. Hey, that's my brain gatekeeper's worry. And then address that worry by asking your non-conscious mind one question, the Pathfinder's question, where is my most fulfilling path forward here? Then watch what happens next. Remember, folks, if we here at the Road Ahead Cafe have touched your hearts, calmed your fears, tickled your fancy, you're all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of our hospitality. Rick?
Great stuff, Peter. Frank, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I will repeat what Gopal Das says about worrying. It's so great. Do you have a problem in life? No? Then why do you worry? Do you have a problem in life? Yes. Can you do something about it? Yes. Then why worry? And the last one, do you have a problem in life? Yes. Can you do something about it? No. Then why do you worry? He focuses on the now and not on the future. Your answer is always in the now. Do you want to know more? Contact me on LinkedIn or go to my website, frankwise.nl, or book a 30-minute free session with me, Rick, or Peter. We are happy to meet you. And as always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Have a wonderful day, and don't forget to subscribe.
Terrific, Frank. Thank you. So my final thoughts, when you practice staying in the present moment, you'll have a much easier time of it when dealing with worry. In our house, we always say the answer to all your problems is go to work. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.